Welcome to another episode of The Rainbow Asylum, your favorite thing to do on a Sunday night. No, I mean really your favorite thing to do on a Sunday night. Like literally, I don't know why anybody's doing anything else because this is the most awesome place to be. And I am the most awesome head nurse ever, Head Nurse Mikester, the queen of all media and, you know, all of that stuff. So welcome to the show. And please, now without further ado, allow me to also welcome our GIMP.
Hello, listening audience. This is your loyal sound, Gimp. And welcome
Yay,
to
Gimp.
The Rainbow Asylum. As I'm sure you all know, tonight is our Halloween episode because Halloween's on a Saturday this year, which means, well, we're going to miss it by one day.
Yep. So we basically, long before the actual festivities begin, we get to have a Halloween show on a Sunday night because that's what you do when you're at the asylum. And Halloween's on a Saturday. Yay!
And what will you be doing on Halloween, nurse?
You really want to know?
I asked.
I will be doing some community service work at a halfway house. So. Yes, because I do all the most glamorous things so that the staff doesn't have to. Yay! No, I know my voice does not sound enthusiastic about that, but I actually am. I could actually not think of anything else I would rather do than actually do community service work.
And say, spend your holidays doing charitable work.
Yeah, I mean, why would it? You know, I'm 40 years old. I have lived through so many holidays at this point that I don't even. A lot of times, I wake up the morning of a holiday and I'll be like, oh yeah, I forgot. And that even includes major ones like Halloween. So, yeah, that probably sounds awful. I mean, well, and it's kind of weird because I've been bringing candy to the halfway house for the past couple of weeks because I was like, oh, Halloween's coming. Happy Halloween, everyone, because I'm like, I want them to experience like a festive, you know, if they're in a part of their life where they're experiencing some hopelessness, then, you know, I want to be that, you know, that positive influence that offers even if it's like the joy of someone handing you some Halloween candy and saying Happy Halloween, you know, that could be, you know, the difference for somebody. So it's like in the abstract, I'm like observing the holiday for another person, but like having that sink in and have me think, oh, there's a holiday coming. What am I going to do? Like that wasn't even a question that I asked myself until you asked me. Funny how that works.
Suppose so.
So what are you going to be doing?
Well, since Halloween does fall on a Saturday, my local Rocky Horror Cast Transylvanian Lip Treatment will be having our October show on Halloween this year. So while you are helping the, I don't want to say helping the less fortunate because that sounds so fucking condescending. But when you're helping the community, that sounds better. Sounds better. We'll go with that. You know, while you're doing that, I will be dressed up in a battered cheap Goodwill suit with my long stringy hair hanging down, playing a riffraff to a theater full of packed full of freaks, misfits, and other assorted sexual outcasts. Should be a good time. And just to remind you,
so you're pretty much you're going to be pretty much doing business as usual too.
Oh yeah. I'll be at Rocky.
Welcome to old age.
And just a reminder to our listening audience, if you live anywhere close to Indianapolis, please come out for TLT's Halloween show. It'll be at the Irving Theater, 5505 East Washington Street in Indianapolis. Admission is $6. Please come early. The Halloween show is always a sellout.
So, you're probably going to, I'm about to commit what might be considered a blasphemy to you, but the other night I pulled up, I was looking for a movie to, because, you know, once in a while I do watch movies now, and for a long time I had not, once in a while I watch movies now. It's a new thing that I do now that I have an actual TV to watch them on. And I decided, you know, I should watch Rocky Horror because I haven't watched it in a while. You know, there's always like these Rocky Horror references on the show. And I mean, I've seen it in the past and I get its, you know, its cultural value. And I'm all about that. Okay. So like, but I haven't seen it in a while. So sometimes I have like a very faint memory because there were many years where I was just obliterating my brain cells as hard as I could. So anyway, I turned on this movie, this Rocky Horror movie that all this hype, all these years, and like, I probably fell asleep. I literally didn't make it, basically like somewhere after Time Warp, but while Rocky was actually singing, like he actually jumped out of the, I don't even remember what it was, the Rocky machine that he jumped out of or whatever it was, and I fell asleep. I woke up, you know how you like wake up during the middle of a movie and you're like, I wish the TV would just shut up because they're like singing this noise and like the noise of the singing is like ruining my nap. And I'm like, shut it off. And then I like, it hit me that like, oh my gosh, Walter would be so upset if he knew. The entire thing turned out to be like a big yawn fest and then a nuisance that interrupted my nap. So I think it had more to do with the fact that like I was tired that day. Like I don't think it's actually a referendum on whether that's a boring movie to watch or whether maybe it's just boring when you're by yourself or what. Like I think I was just tired, so it's not really a referendum on the movie or whatever, but I just thought it would be funny to kind of I just wanted to tell the Gimp that your big movie that you love like put me to sleep.
Well, you know, in all fairness, you know, Rocky's one of those movies that, you know, yeah, you know, you can watch it by yourself, and it's fun to watch, you know. I think one of the TV channels, I don't know if they're going to do it again this year, but I know last year one of the channels on the cable did 24 hours of Rocky Horror for Halloween. It's a fun movie to watch, but, you know, you really don't get the fun out of it unless you go see it in the theater.
Yeah, I kind of was getting that feel for it. I was like, because even the time that I did watch it, I was with a bunch of people and we were all getting stoned. And it's just not the same when you're sitting there by yourself, just deliberately watching this movie. And so I don't know. I couldn't tell whether I was like, I'm just old or like this movie genuinely sucks. Like that can't be possible. It has the longest theater, like, theatrical, like, it's been in theaters longer than any other movie ever. Like, it's totally legendary, and I get why it is. And, like, I mean, the characters, like, I mean, as each one came on screen, I was like, oh, there's Frankenfurter, and, you know, like, I'm reacquainting myself with these characters. And, like, so I'm having this, like, pop cultural, like, reacquaintance with the movie, and then I fell asleep. Because, like, that was really all I really wanted to get out of it, I guess. So I just fell asleep. And then I woke up and frantically turned it off because I was like, shut the fuck up and quit singing. You're interrupting my nap.
Nurse.
And I don't know, is Brad supposed to be actually sexier than Rocky? Because he is. Brad's hotter than Rocky. Rocky is like not even hot.
Well, I guess it just depends on how you look at him. I mean, you know, Rocky's supposed to represent, you know, the culturally idealistic, you know, male beauty.
Like, on what planet?
You know, the whole, you know, ripped, muscly, blonde thing, you know.
Yeah, that was like a brief moment in the 80s.
Well, do keep in mind the film came out in 1975.
Yeah, so I don't know. That's not really my picture perfect. Like, for me, masculinity, well, I don't know. For me, it doesn't really look like Brad either. But if I had to pick between Brad and Rocky, I mean, at least Brad has that kind of dorky kind of, I don't know. I don't know. Anyway, I just was like, wow. Wow. He had a chance to create the perfect man, and that's what he made.
By the way, if any of our listening audience wants to get in on this apparently impromptu cultural critique of Rocky Horror, please feel free to call in 516-387-1565. We'd love to hear from you. At least I would.
Yay!
I mean, just for the record, the nurse hates all of you.
I do not. It's just a really fond dislike.
So
are we gonna hear some music, or am I gonna spend the rest of the show mocking your favorite movie?
Oh, there's plenty of room for both, but we should start out with some music. And to kick it off, here's Captain Clegg with Transylvania Terror Train.
Again?
Captain Clegg.
Captain Clegg?
Clegg.
What's a Clegg?
Hell, I don't know. I'm not in the band, I just play the music.
Gimp getting all snippy.
I don't have to take your bullshit tonight, you know that?
Leave.
Maybe I will, motherfucker.
Maybe you won't. Oh, my gosh, I'm on the edge of my seat. Well, he won't be. The Gimp wants you to think that he left, but in fact, he's sitting right there.
God damn it, nurse.
That's what you get. So, what else have you been up to this week? Entertain us, Gimp.
Well, I was in Milwaukee last weekend.
Tell us all about this thing you were doing.
What do you want to know?
Let's see. So it's a presidential nomination year. Is there a candidate?
From the Socialist Party? Yeah. We selected our candidate at the convention, which is where I was at last weekend. I was at the Socialist Party USA's National Convention in Milwaukee. Got elected as a delegate, which meant the local paid for my trip. Woohoo! All I had to cover were my bar tabs. Woohoo!
Yay!
Soon I will be sending those bar tabs off to our national office, you know, so that's, you know, like, they can end up covering for them. I mean, you know, it was convention weekend, you know, those, in all fairness, you know, those bar tabs were a legitimate business expense.
Right. So,
But our presidential candidate is Mimi Soltysik out of Los Angeles, California, and vice presidential candidate is Angela Walker, who is from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. They were both nominated with an overwhelming majority of votes from the delegates at the national convention. And, yeah. Vote Mimi.
Yay! Well, good for you. So was this your first time representing, I guess, serving as a delegate in a convention?
Yeah, well, not only was it my first time serving as a delegate, this was actually the first time I'd ever been to a, you know, National Party's political convention.
Yay!
Any party's convention.
And okay, I'm relating to this. The first time I ever went to a convention as well, I was a delegate that year. And I was really kind of, I guess you could say, like, I got a meditation out of it when I was able to observe how humans make decisions in large groups, like watching the deliberative process unfold and the way that people, you know, they make, I mean, I don't know how you do your meetings, but the one that I went to, people make motions and they come and they debate and there's, you know, parliamentary procedure is taking place. And, I don't know, it was all very kind of
the old Robert's Rules of Order.
Yes, quite quaint and potentially can be used as a weapon and frequently is, especially when egos get involved in a room and suddenly what is meant to maintain order seems almost to be the thing that is a threat to order. But anyway, it's still a beautiful thing to watch everybody pretend that we're doing this orderly tearing at one another's throats. and I've really found that to be quite educational. So I guess that's my long way of kind of asking, what did you get out of it? Not just that deliberative process thing, but, like, what was the thing that struck
right,
you, like, you know?
Right, well, I mean, you know, and of course, you know, having done organizing work and, you know, activism work for the last 10 or 12 years, you know, I've already been through, you know, Robert's Rules of Order and parliamentary procedure and blah, 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 even though obviously this was the first time I'd ever seen it at a national convention. As far as what I got out of it, I mean, I can't really say, you know, I had a great spiritual awakening in Milwaukee. I had a great time. But one thing that did kind of strike me, you know, speaking of parliamentary procedure and motions, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, you know, some of the issues that we got into long debates about were very important and required a long debate. I know one of the issues we discussed was our party's position on the state of Israel, and, you know, the question was, you know, should the U.S. government continue to fund the Israeli government, you know, through these giant block grants, which we basically just, you know, we give the state of Israel so that they can build bombs. I mean, it's mostly military funding that we give them. You know, that's obviously an important part of, foreign policy, requires a lot of debate, a lot of thought, different perspectives. I understand that. But, you know, I remember when we first got there, because we hit Milwaukee right around noon on Friday, hung out in the hotel for a couple hours, and then we had to be out at the convention hall because, you know, we started business Friday afternoon. And, you know, ostensibly the business on Friday should have been the easy part. You know, I don't know how it was at the convention you went to. But, you know, Friday afternoon, you know, on paper, you know, it was basically, you know, seating of the delegates, approval of the rules, approval of the agenda, break off into committees. That was supposed to be Friday. It was. It's what we ended up doing. But my bleeding Christ, it took 45 minutes to seat the delegates. You know, because these questions kept popping up. Well, did the delegation make a honest and forthright attempt to meet, you know, gender parity, you know, within the Socialist Party, we try to have, you know, anytime we have a national convention, we always try to make sure our delegations at the local synod are gender balanced, you know, one male, one female, or two males and two females, however big a delegation you're allotted, you know, Indianapolis, my delegation, you know, we were allotted two delegates. We were gender balanced. There was me, and then Audrey, our local chair, was one man, one woman. That's one thing that kind of struck me, you know, these arguments over whether or not, you know, the delegation made a good faith effort to achieve gender balance, and just little minute details things. And I'm just sitting there going, okay, can we just seat the fucking delegates? For Christ's sakes. So, you know, it certainly cuts both ways, I suppose, as you mentioned, you know, a parliamentary procedure and blah, 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 blah. Certainly a fun weekend, you know. Glad to have been gone, you know, glad to have had a chance to go to it, you know. Never thought at the age of 28 I'd be elected to represent, you know, Indianapolis at a national political convention. That's kind of cool, you know. How many other guys can say that?
Well, true, very true. So, let's hear some more music.
All right, yeah, let's get back some more rock and roll, and we'll get back to whatever the nurse and I decide to bitch about. I'm sure once we get back from the break, she'll want to hear more from the convention. But in the meantime,
I can't wait to hear more. No, actually, what I'm looking forward to is that what just hit me is that I need a chance to pick out a slut of the week, because I haven't done that, and it's probably like 6 minutes from now that I need to start ranting about it. So this is my graceful attempt to, you know, pretend it's not happening. But why not milk it for entertainment value as long as I can?
That's true. I was going to say, nurse, if you need a chance to pick out a slut, why don't I play a song, and then we'll see if the poet bomber's around.
Okay. Yay.
See if I can get a hold of the bomber. In the meantime, you know, this is our Halloween episode, and it won't be Halloween without a little bit of Alice Cooper. And here's Alice doing Lady Gaga.
It doesn't matter if you love him or if you love age. I am. My mama told me when I was young, we were all but superstars.
She rolled my hair, put my lipstick on, covered up all my scars.
Ain't nothing wrong with you, she said, she made you perfect, babe.
So hold your head up and you go far.
I'm on the right track, baby. I was born this way. Don't have yourself in regret. Just turn yourself and you say, I'm on the right track.
Matthew Gaga.
Definitely chosen a slut, and I can't believe how it has ruined the last 5 minutes of my life to immerse myself in this person's just sluttiness.
It could be worse, nurse.
I would welcome a poetry bombing if one is in the works.
Well, unfortunately, I haven't heard anything from the bomber yet, so we're just going to assume that they'll be joining us later on in the show.
All right, then let's get this over with. Oh, wait, you have something?
Well, as I was saying, before we get to the slut, you know, I can play another song to calm you down a little bit, nerds.
No, let's just get through it.
All right.
Okay, now it's time for my favorite part of the show. We're going to talk about girls that we don't like.
Speaking of presidential candidates, it hit me that the Libertarian Party has one that I would like to dispose of as soon as possible. And we have one that has just shoved his way forward in the attention-whoring universe and is parading triumphantly through the streets, just being everything that is wrong with the stereotype of the Tea Party Republican type that thinks they're a libertarian. And I don't mean, this person makes Rand Paul look desirable, and that's pretty sad because Rand Paul is pretty fucking undesirable.
Cold.
He has already been a slut and a motard, and I believe he got the Crosshairs award on Armed and Fabulous, too. This guy's even so he runs a website called the Libertarian Republic, which is a bunch of Republicans thinking that constitutional conservatism has anything to do with liberty. And, I mean, I'm not going to, like, drag the whole – I mean, I've been through it on this show a million times about why it's not. And I think anybody who's been paying attention – there might have been a time a year or two ago when there was enough confusion that they could kind of play that off. We're past that time now. We've all done a lot of work letting people know why that's not libertarianism, how these people keep shoving their way to the front and making themselves – I don't know how this is even fucking happening, but he has spent the past several years assembling this website where he has a bunch of useful idiots that he can spam. And so he's being successful in creating the illusion of libertarian support. And it's just toxic to watch. The convention, I'm just going to say, is going to be a lot of fun if he is there and we do get the chance to do some activism around what a scumbag he is. If that happens, I'm not going to be able to say that calling him the slut tonight actually ended his career, because obviously if I have to fight him at the convention, the career was not ended tonight. But as far as I'm concerned, this person was dead in the water before he even spoke his own name. And that didn't really make sense. But that's how, like, I'm just perturbed that this person's name is even on my screen right now. I'm perturbed that we're going to have to continue seeing his name. I do have one comfort, is that there's a question now as to whether he can actually file with the FEC, because he'll be old enough to be president if elected on Election Day, but he's not old enough right now. So there's a question as to whether state secretaries would even put him on their ballots, and if so, we might get out of it on a technicality, and hopefully if that happens, he doesn't rear his ugly head in 4 years again. But anyway, without further ado, I'm just going to put him in the past, as far as this show is concerned, and say that Austin Peterson is tonight's slut.
Slut of the week is 2, 3, 4!
Justin Peterson, take your Tea Party Industrial Complex bullshit hate train and take your band of merry bigots and bye-bye. Bye-bye. Just go. Go back to the Republican Party where you came from and don't come back. Bye-bye. 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 Oh, I hate how I don't get to, like, say bye-bye with finality because we're going to be struggling with this through the fucking convention, at least. God forbid he get the nomination. You know, I don't know if I've actually named Gary Johnson as my slut. Gary Johnson is not even close to what I would even consider to be a primary choice, basically for his view on taxation. But at this point, I would welcome a Johnson candidacy because given the alternative, he actually, I mean, I would have preferred Johnson over Rand Paul by far, too. So, I mean, that's not really saying much, though.
And I was going to say, you know, Gary Johnson was a hell of a lot better than Bob Barr.
Oh, by far. By far. At this point, I mean, I would, I'm, if that's the worst we get, I'd be glad.
I still don't know how the hell the, how Bob Barr got the nomination out of that convention.
Well, I was there. And in fact, we were just talking about my first convention, and that was it. And,
oh, the
2008.
Yeah, it would have been, yeah, the 08 Libertarian Convention. How was your first?
That was my first convention, and it was really creepy because they were – all these people kept showing up. Like, he was flying in delegates. There were delegations. So what happens is the different state delegations have a theoretical number of delegates that can attend, but most states don't really have – enough active people who can afford to fly to the convention to actually fill their delegations. And so a lot of states have trouble filling up their delegations, so there are empty seats. And so they kind of will offer them. Typically, if you attend our convention, you can find a delegation, a seat, and I shouldn't be saying that publicly because next thing you know, Austin Peterson will take advantage of that too. But you also have to actually have like a big money machine to fly delegates in, which is what Bob Barr had, and that's what he did. So they arrived at the convention, they determined that there was like all these seats available, so people just started like showing up and getting seated in delegations. So by the time anybody figured out like really what was going on, it was like the balance had been tipped. So he got the nomination only by I don't know if it was by one vote, but it was close because it came down to him and Mary Ruart. And Mary Ruart is would have been considered like more of a radical. She was not only was she a grassroots favorite, but she has, I don't know if you want to call it, not establishment credentials, but she has like she's a doctor. She's a doctor. She's Dr. Mary Ruart. In other words, she has like a credibility that would have made her a good candidate for us, right? You know, she's a doctor, right? So she at least can represent us with dignity. You know what I'm saying? Like, she would have been a viable in terms of being a third party where you already know you're going to lose in the first place anyway. You know, I mean, what passes for viable for us, she would have been it. She would have been a great candidate. And, like, we fought really hard to get her, and it came down to that last vote. And it was really close, but Barr squeaked through. He got it, and it was a really sad day. Basically, minutes later, Mary Ruart was in the bar crying, and the grassroots were defeated, and it was just – it was really sad. It was really sad. I was butthurt. I came home and relapsed. I lost 4 years of my life over it. That's another story.
Well, before the poor nurse collapses from her political traumas, let's get to another song, shall we?
Let's.
All right, from Repo the Genetic Opera, here's 21st Century Cure. We'll be right back.
ripples the globe.
Enjoy Gene Co's day and nighttime formula of Zydrate.
Nature fails as technology spread.
Ask a intern if Zydrate is right for you.
And in this wake, a market erected.
Buying Zydrate from an unlicensed source is illegal.
An entire city built on top of the dead. And you can find it, your bone and your kidney. For every market, a submarket grows. But best to be punctual with making your payment. Let it be you on the concrete below. It's quick. Your life, rest assured. It's the 21st century cure. And it's my job to steal and rob. Your designer heart still beats with common blood. And what if you could have genetic perfection, which changed who you are? Because it's quick, it's clean, and it's pure.
All you really needed.
It could change your life, rest assured. The 21st century cure. And it's my job to steal and rob.
Secure from Repo the Genetic Opera, and I believe we have a caller on the line. Hello, welcome to the Rainbow Asylum.
Hello, babies. I'm actually going to give you an introduction for once.
Yay!
I realized when I started looking at what poems I was going to do that it's been about a year since the first time I called, because I believe my second one was Edgar Allan Poe's The Raven. So obviously, since I'm not going to be available on the next show due to being at work, I am bringing you another classic Halloween poem.
Yay!
And this is very special. This was the first poem that I ever memorized when I was a very, very young poet bomber. I was too young to even light a match, but I learned this one.
Nice.
Thrice the brindled cat hath mewed, thrice and once the hedge pig whined. Happier cries, tis time, round about the cauldron go. In the poisoned and entrails throw. Toad that under cold stone, days and nights has 31, sweltered venom sleeping got, boil thou first in the charmed pot. Double, toil and trouble, fire burn and cauldron bubble. Fillet of a fenny snake, in the cauldron boil and bake. Eye of newt and toe of frog, wolf bat and tongue of dog. adder's fork and blind worm's sting, lizard's leg and owlet's wing, for the charm of powerful trouble, like a hell broth boil and bubble, double, double, toil and trouble, fire burn and cauldron bubble, scale of dragon, tooth of wolf, witch's mummy, maw and gulf, of the robin, sea shark, root of hemlock digged in the dark, liver of blaspheming Jew, gall of goat and slips of yew, slivered in the morning, in the moon's eclipse, nose of Turk and Tartar's lips, finger of birth-strangled babe, ditch delivered by a drabe, make the gruel thick and slab, and add thereto a tiger's chaldron for the ingredients of our cauldron. Double, double, toil and trouble, fire burn and cauldron bubble, cool it with a baboon's blood, and then the charm is firm and good.
Shakespeare, very nice.
Yeah, I remember reading that in English class. You know,
yeah,
it's kind of funny because when she mentioned memorizing poems, we had to memorize portions of The Raven, so that was kind of a weird like crossover moment there. We also had to memorize Robert Frost. So if you really wanted to hear me recite, like, I think isn't there one good, The Wall, Good Fences Make Good, oh, The Fence? Yeah.
Yeah.
I won't go there, but I still remember that one. No, I will not go there.
I'm not asking you to. I'm not asking you to, nurse.
Okay, well, I heard that long silence, and I'm not going to fill it up with a poem, so just stop.
We just had poetry.
I know, and that was enough. The poet bomber is the poet bomber.
Are you saying there's such thing as enough poetry?
No, I'm saying that the poet bomber
you
is a tough act to follow. She's a pro. I'm an amateur.
Damn right you are.
You know, the queen of all media, part of being a queen is knowing when to speak and when to not speak. And so that's kind of like the poetry bomber. She's got a corner on that poetry bombing market. So I will not be reciting poetry on this show.
Well, thank God for small favors.
Really?
In the meantime, we're going to get back some more music here, continuing with Halloween-themed night on the show. Here's White Zombie with Real Solution Number 9. right, and we're back. At least I'm
Yay.
Back. Yay! Oh, the nurse is still there.
Here I am. So, gee, we're down to 36 minutes. I have an announcement.
What?
Armed and Fabulous is returning to the airwaves. Woo-hoo! So, you know that, have you ever heard that, like, that remember the 5th of November thing that, like, the Anonymous co-opted or whatever?
Yeah, the whole Guy Fawkes bit. Yeah, yeah.
So, remember the 5th of November, because that's the day our show is coming back. Yay! So, we're going to be doing it at we're going to try another day. So, let's see, November 5th. So, that looks like it's going to be a Thursday. You would think I would know this off the top of my head, but I'm not going to, like, the day it comes, I'll be like, oh, yeah, the show's out today, and we'll just start doing it. So let me check my calendar, because I need to tell you what time also. Okay, it's going to be at 5 p.m. Mountain Time. So translate that into your own local time, and it's going to be after the time change, and so this is calculated already into that, so it'll be 5 p.m. Mountain Time. Whatever time zone that ends up being, it'll be the daylight time, so it's really, I don't know. Anyway, it's too confusing in Arizona, so I actually scheduled it in a time zone that changes, so that when it changes, I won't have to try to figure out whether it changed for me or not, because it just will. Google will figure that out, and it's telling me 5 o'clock, so I can trust Google, because it can do magical things that I can't do. So the time is going to be 5 o'clock. Mountain Time. On Thursdays, and the first one, oh, get it, 5-5. So remember the 5th of November at 5. Oh, my gosh, it works in Mountain Time. Yeah. So it's going to be awesome, and me and Debbie are going to be there, except our names are not Nurse and Debbie there. Our names are Mikester and Freedom Guy. So, but we're the same people.
So if you can't get enough of the head nurse and Miss Debbie Demure, definitely tune in 5 o'clock Mountain Time on Thursday for the return of Armed and Fabulous right here.
Yay.
On the Outright Libertarian Radio Network on Blog Talk Radio.
Right. Right. And just so everybody knows, we do have the schedule is pretty much wide open. So if people want to try doing your own podcasts. I don't know, maybe I shouldn't, like, just say that publicly, because next thing you know, we'll get, somebody embarrassing like Austin Peterson wanting to start a podcast, and then I'd have to, like, veto them, and then that would be so, like, not decentralized, right? That would be very top-down, but I would break my principles to tell Austin Peterson, no, you cannot podcast on our network. And we do have production quality values around here. So although we have technical difficulties all the time, if you do, then you won't be able to keep doing it on our network. No, I'm just kidding. Actually, it's kind of funny because I saw this Onion article today that reminded me of us. And it was saying, actually, I think it might be up on our screen. It made me laugh. Oh, no, it's not. But anyway, the total was local podcaster promises not to have – local podcaster apologizes for technical difficulties. And it made me laugh because it was – reminded me exactly of something that we would say with, like, no sense of irony, that we just promise it won't happen next week. And, like, it's – we're amateurs. We're on amateur equipment. We're never not going to have technical difficulties. So, I mean, stop saying we won't. Guess what? We can't predict it. We don't know. We're not professionals. So, anyway, I don't know if you got anything out of that, because I'm totally just rambling at this point. If you want to start a show, you can, as long as it's not really excessively Republican, would be the main deal breaker there. Or if it's pro-Hillary, not into that either. That kind of thing. But, yeah, and whether or not you do either of those two things – oh, wait, that was only one thing. whether or not you start a show on the network or not, you should still listen to the other two shows that are currently on the network. And that's this one, The Rainbow Asylum, which is on, I don't know what time it's going to be after next week either. I'm just going to say 6 p.m. Pacific time. Wait, is it going to change? I don't know. It's 6 p.m. Arizona time, which is Pacific time now, and it will be Mountain time next week. I'm so confused. But you'll figure it out because you'll see it on our show, on our page. And then Armed and Fabulous on Thursday nights, which is at 6 p.m. Mountain time, because we're doing it after the time change, so I don't have to guess. Yay. Is that clear?
Not really, but we're going to have to run with it.
All right.
Well, I know soon we're going to have Miss Debbie on the air, but before we see what the fabulous Demure is up to, you know, it is our Halloween show, and it wouldn't be a Halloween show here at the Rainbow Asylum without Maris the Great. Maris the Great and the Faggot to Death with Get That Wee Wee.
Listen up, mortals. I have something to say. Get that wee wee. 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 Go! All right. Every day I fall out of bed, looking for someone I can give head. Maybe I'll jump bend over instead. Then I met a female who wouldn't give it up because she didn't have a clue, and that's something you've just gone through. So I told her, get that wee wee. Get that wee wee.
Get that wee wee.
Gotta get that wee wee.
Get that wee wee.
Get that wee wee.
Get that wee wee.
You gotta get some dick. Every place that's out of bounds, in the bathroom, making my rounds, and I show up there and fall down. Doesn't matter, they're straight, okay. In the end, they'll go my way. Gang of my stomach is okay. You gotta
get that wee wee.
Get that wee wee.
Get that wee wee.
Get that dick. Gotta get that wee wee.
Get that wee wee.
Get that wee wee.
Don't listen to the people who say you're a slut if you act that way. Live your life your way.
You bound and gagged is a random heterosexual male mortal I have deemed acceptable enough to kidnap off the street.
Dear, it's not ladylike to kidnap. Isn't that right, girl?
Sure, that's the case, right? Silence! I have kidnapped him for a very important reason, namely to demonstrate my philosophy on getting that wee-wee. I shall perform fellatio on this mortal, not only bringing him to ejaculation in record time, but doing so in time with the music!
Okay, well, this I've got to see.
Now, to undo his gag.
Who the fuck are you people? Where am I? We're the Faggots of Death here. Say hello to America. You're on the air.
I'm on the what? Were you fucking kidding me? How did this fucking happen?
You get down on my knees.
Hey, whoa, what are you doing down there? Don't get down there.
To unzip his zipper.
No, Frankie Dong, Satan, put them back in there, oh my god!
Long live the king of the gay undead.
Hear, hear. Well, it looks like we have a caller. Hi, caller, you're on the line.
Hey, fuckers.
Hey, who the fuck is this?
This is fucking Moxie Fox.
Fucking Moxie,
fuck
how the
yeah.
hell are you? What the fuck I'm talking about?
I'm doing good. I decided, I haven't talked to you guys in a while. I might as well call you fuck up.
Yeah. So what are you doing for Halloween?
Nothing.
Nothing?
I know how lame that is. But it fucking sucks up here.
It's all right. We both got done telling our stories about how we're not doing anything either. Or we are, but we're doing the same thing as always.
And I'm saying, yeah, we're
Yeah,
then,
what?
Hey. Well, what else is going on? Do you have any new music you're working on?
I do. Nothing in a releasable state as of yet, but I have access to a pretty wicked studio.
Nice.
So I'm going to be using that soon, hopefully, to... Because I've been writing like crazy still. So I'm hoping to be able to finish that shit, go up into the recording studio and jam out a few and debut them on the Rainbow Asylum.
Awesome. We are definitely looking forward to that.
You better.
Yes,
we
are.
We're always happy to debut your shit, Moxie, considering you've been the only, at least, as far as I remember, now keep in mind how much I tend to drink, but as far as I remember, you're the only guest
but
we've ever had that.
Though.
Fuck off.
Okay.
The only guest we've ever had on the show that played songs live on the air, so we're always happy to play your new shit whenever it's finished.
Yeah. Because, like, I'm one of those people who's like, I want to play music for people all the time, but then, like, I write something and I'm like, I'm never going to show this to anyone. So it's like this weird double-ended sword.
Okay, I'll say, yeah, no need for you to be so shy. You're a good singer.
I mean, like, it's not singing or anything like that. It's the content, really. Because, like, you spend so long just, like, pouring your heart out into something, and, like, people, and you never know how people are going to react. They're just going to be like, oh, look at this shit that someone did. You know?
No, that's the gamble of being an artist.
Exactly. And I have anxiety.
A couple of Jack and Cokes can level that out a little bit for you.
Oh, God, no more Jack and Cokes, please. I told you the story of that. Mike doesn't know, but I told you the story of that.
Oh, okay. What's the story?
Oh, God.
The public has a right to know.
All right, so a couple of weeks ago, I was talking to the Gimp. And, you know, some of us might have started smoking something, and then one thing led to another, and then I wanted to have a drink, and I haven't started drinking until this year. So, and the last time I did, actually, I drank, like, half a bottle of fruit punch rum bullshit. I don't remember who makes it, But I just, like, downed that and was fucking gone till the next day. And there's video of that. I can send you guys that later. It's actually video of last night, or the other night. But no, I was just like, you know, I'm just, like, sitting there talking to Gib, just like, you know what, I need a drink. So, like, I sneak off while he's doing something. So I sneak off, grab a drink, come back. Four huge whiskey and cokes later, I'm just hating it, you know. And it's the first time I ever threw up all drunk.
I would say, Moxie, as I recall, during the course of that conversation, you got so drunk you flashed me.
Oh, shit. I don't remember that. It's not like...
Well, what are friends for if not to remind you of stuff like that?
I mean, to be fair, a lot of people have seen my tits. Kind of an exhibitionist.
Wait a minute. You're an exhibitionist, but you're worried about people hearing your songs?
Yeah. Like, I'm still much more eager to have people see me completely naked.
Isn't that the most intimately, like, naked you can, like, you're exposing something so inner to yourself. I think that might be a good frame to put around it. Like, maybe, not that you didn't, you didn't ask for my advice, but maybe if you kind of do some meditation around the idea that, you know, there is a form of exhibitionism. Like, the mind is a sex organ, and revealing, making yourself vulnerable in that way, I don't know, maybe you can kind of, like, flip the script on the barrier that you have, because, I mean, in order to be an artist, then it's kind of like you do have to get used to flashing your brain at us. And I would love to see more of your brain, baby. Show it to me. Show me your brain.
Oh, yeah, I'll show you my brain.
Oh. If Maris could come eat your brain if he really likes it.
Nice. I like how sexual it got there at the end.
Yay!
And sex is always fun, especially with people
right.
You only kind of know on the internet.
Well, from what I understand, the nurse is not exactly the top lay on the internet, but she's pretty close.
Yeah. Yep. So, other than that, nothing much has been going on. You know?
I know.
Still unemployed.
Yes.
Still live with a guy who doesn't like that I'm trans.
What a pain in the ass, isn't it? Oh, nurse.
Yeah, I wish it was a different kind of pain in the ass.
Yes.
Any word from Miss Demure?
I've got her phone number ready to dial when it's time. So, is that kind of the prompt?
Yeah, punch it in. Let's see what Miss Demure's up to.
All right, let's see. Paging Miss Demure to the studio.
Debbie.
Hello?
All right, let's see.
All right, and now we have the lovely and talented Miss Demure in the studio, along with a frequent listener on the show, Moxie Fox. Miss Demure, how are you?
I'm fabulous, darlings. How are y'all?
Doing good.
Fabulous.
Well, I have noticed that this being our Halloween special, that Miss Debbie Demure has decided to give some of our listeners a little help with their costumes. So, being that, you know, Miss Demure is all about glamour and entertainment and gossip and a little bit about politics, She really thought that the best thing that she could use to help you with your costumes this year, kiddies, is the Wizard of Oz. So to break it down for y'all, anybody that wants to go as the Wicked Witch of the West, really all you have to do is dress up as Hillary Clinton. If you would like to go as the Tin Man, because you have no heart, simply go as Donald Trump. If you feel more like you're the Wizard of Oz and pay no attention to the man behind the curtain, you can always dress as Jeb Bush. Now, we go to the Cowardly Lion. And, of course, the Cowardly Lion really just has no courage, can't stand up for any of his convictions, and eventually really just votes with the rest of the Republicans and doesn't even lean toward liberty at all, simply dress up as Rand Paul.
Ooh.
Now, if you really like the Scarecrow because you have no brain and you voted against the wars while you still continue to vote for all of the manufacturers and the F-35s and kept all the war mongering going on, and you think that because you have no brain, you don't understand economics, accounting, or you really just think that socialism and communism is still okay, you can dress as Bernie Sanders.
Oh, goodness.
Now, if you really, really love, really super love those striped little tights of black and white, you can always, and you were in this whirlwind of a tornado before a house fell on you, and you're really only relevant for the first 15 minutes of fame, you can dress as Carly Farino. Now, next we come to, if you are just a Democratic, socialist, I kind of lump them together because really, voter, supporter, candidate, you can always just go as a flying monkey.
Oh, Debbie.
Now, if you're a Republican or a conservative voter, candidate, supporter, and you really just think that whatever the establishment Republicans say is okay, and you listen to somebody high in an emerald tower, you can always go as simply any of your favorite Resident of Oz. If you really love the Munchkins and you like their little lyrical sing-song that they do, their little bit of poetry that they do, I suggest that you go as an intelligent or informed voter or as the lovely cast member from the Rainbow Asylum, the Poet Bomber.
Oh.
If you think, and rightfully so you are, the star of the show, and you can go and look glamorous in black and white or color as much as Dorothy does, then I suggest that you go as the head nurse.
Oh, you shouldn't have.
If you're simply just a dog looking for a bone, if you're a dog looking for a bone and you believe anything and everything that any little socialist tells you, that you can do, and all you care about is getting fed, getting to shit, and having a place to sleep, and you don't care who has to give up anything for it, you might think that Toto is your favorite character, so you can simply just dress up as the sound gimp.
Of yours, Debbie. Oh, my God.
But of course, if you're glamorous and beautiful, and completely, completely, totally good, and you can do no wrong, and a bubble and a wand, and by wand I mean a phallic symbol or a dick, is your favorite thing to have, and you float around on a cloud, and you could have pretty much given everybody everything they wanted, but you knew that they had to earn it, and this was not a socialist environment, that it was about opportunities and about working hard, and that you wanted everybody to be equal and individual liberty for all, and your favorite character is Glinda the Good, you can always go as the fabulous Miss Debbie DeMure. So there are some wonderful examples of how you can be this Halloween your favorite Wizard of Oz character, as well as your favorite politician or your favorite cast member from the Rainbow Asylum. And sometimes you might think, you know what, Dorothy's my favorite character. For most of you, sweetheart, you're not glamorous enough to dress as the head nurse. There can really only be one. And she's already over the rainbow.
Oh, Debbie, you have outdone yourself this week.
Well, thank you
so any,
for your...
Did I miss something?
No.
Well, who would be the Motard?
Oh, honey. The Motard was really hard this week because the slut of the week could have very easily been the Motard. But I think that power, fame-hungry little bitch that Anderson Peterson in, oh, Anderson Wade Peterson, I think is the full name there. Austin Wade Peterson. What did I say, Anderson? I must have had Anderson Cooper on the brain for 5 seconds. Austin Wade Peterson. I don't really plan on giving him any credit for anything. I thought he pretty much already got the Motard Award, the Slut of the Week, when the Libertarian girl did, considering the fact that he's just the male version of that. So I don't – the Motard Award, really this week I wanted everybody to have fun. And – I mean, if I had to give the Motard Award to anybody, it would have to be probably Anderson Cooper and CNN for not really throwing some hard questions at Hillary and Bernie and making a separation between the two, and I mean, really and truly, the other three numbskulls in that race, I mean, they really, I mean, everybody on that stage made Hillary Clinton look good. And I watched all of the Benghazi hearing, and Hillary came out looking really, really pretty good in that. And I just think it's, I mean, this week you could just say that it's, I mean, it's just the whole political process could be your Motard Award. On the fact that, I mean, really.
I mean, really.
I mean, what was there, like 4 people at the Socialist Convention?
Oh, of yours.
How many people were there, really?
Delegates or just observers?
There's a difference?
Well, yeah, delegates.
Really have enough? Y'all really have enough members for there not for there to be all the delegates filled and some people can't be? So they have to be members or visitors?
Well, yeah, I say not everybody there was a voting delegate.
So what did y'all vote on? I mean, Was it, this is our platform, take away from everybody, everything that they have, and then spread the shit evenly, and so everybody is completely under shit, and nobody can do what they want to do, and there is no freedom or liberty, and that's our platform? I mean, was that pretty much it?
No, it was a lot more mundane than that, actually.
Is that, am I paraphrasing what it was?
Fuck you, buddy.
Well, I mean, I don't really, I mean, I'm just being, I'm trying to get the gist. I mean, when I think of the Socialist Party, I don't really think of there being very much liberty or freedom. I don't think about it, I don't think about it uplifting anybody. I think about it just bringing everybody down to this crap level. I mean, and maybe I'm just getting the world view of what socialism really is. I mean,
well,
am I wrong about that?
It depends on how you define socialism. I mean, you know,
isn't the definition is I have a heart, but my heart is that everybody has to suck. Their life has to suck. And so, therefore, everybody's equal? I mean, that's the definition, right?
No, that's not the definition.
I am stepping in only because it's 7:25 p.m. As fascinating as I think it would be to hear the GIMP defend the socialist platform, anybody that wants to go read it can go to socialistparty-usa.net/platform.html. And I would just... I'll just throw this out as a final thought, and it's because we're running out of time, not because I don't enjoy watching the GIMP squirm. Just compare it to the writings of Benjamin Tucker, who was an individualist anarchist in the 19th century, and where we have a root of a term of something called a libertarian socialist, and see if you think we have an ideological root there. I don't know. Draw some big, deep philosophical conclusion that is way more abstract than this show can cope with.
I love you guys. And Sam Gimp, you know I love you, especially when you're tied up and gagged.
Yes.
Thanks, Debbie. We'll see you next week. Always a trip to hear from Debbie. Moxie, are you still on the line?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Son of a bitch. Well, we're going to go into a little bit of overtime tonight because I want to get on with the GIMP's last call. So, Moxie, you'll be able to hear this through the end of the live feed. I know, unfortunately, our listening audience, I guess, will have to catch the last minute or two in the archive. We're going to get to the GIMP's last call. And here's another perennial favorite on the show. Here is Against Me. Doing a unplugged version of Transgender Dysphoria Blues.
I don't know. You want to do a halftime?
How do we do that? Just half do it. You want to do it half of the time?
You sing half the lyrics. I'm gonna play half the beat. This is gonna be half as good, but it's gonna take half as long.
Hopefully, half as many people see.
Yeah, exactly. If we have to do it,
then... Fuck, I'm sorry.
We're professionals.
We've got nowhere else to go.
Who's going to take you home?
Okay, you got another vision for this?
I have a vision?
Can we?
I want to ask him for it, but I don't.
They're like, next time we shouldn't ask them. They want to do it.
Yeah. Whose idea was it to get against me? I'm against it.
We'll be right back.
Two, three, four! I'm on TV and you're not! Drop dead!